That rainy, dreary morning with the, in my experience, the subway is all working great this morning. On this rainy spring morning. The Governance Committee will come to order. The first item is the approval of the minutes of the meeting of January 12th. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion of the motion? If not, the vote will occur on the motion. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Sounds like it's unanimous. We're going to add one item to the agenda this morning, which has not been noticed to the committee, but with the committee's agreement, we've got an action that we ought to take and recommend to the board. We've just learned this within the last couple of days that the Inspector General's term of office is 5 years, and that at the completion of 5 years, the Inspector General must be reappointed by the board if the board seeks to keep the Inspector General in office. And her term of office will expire before our next meeting. So if there's no objection, I would move that the committee recommend to the board the reappointment of Helen Liu. I will note that the committee is, as you know, beginning a process which the former chair, Mary Hines, started, and that we're moving into higher gear now to review the four individuals who are direct reports to the board: the general manager, inspector general, the board secretary, and the general counsel. And we're going to put this on a regular cycle so that we don't have these long periods without review of the performance, without performance evaluations for these very key positions at WMATA. That process is starting, and we will have a performance review of all four completed this calendar year. As you know, we've already done performance review for the general manager and CEO, so that the three others to do, and we've retained outside assistance to help the committee and the board with this process, and that'll be going forward. But I would move that the committee recommend to the board the reappointment of the of Helen Liu. Is there any discussion, any questions about this?
Mr. Burns,
it's a question. So go ahead.
I just wonder, for what term? Is this another five-year term, or is this until we complete our evaluation?
Well, she serves at the pleasure of the board.
Okay.
So there will be a performance evaluation that will take place later this year. In fact, we now have before us a resolution, which you can take a look at.
So it is for the resolution is a five-year term, but she does serve at the will of the board.
That's my understanding, yes. And she cannot be, as you can see here in the resolution, she is not permitted to be appointed for more than two more terms. So it's a total of 15 years that somebody can serve in that capacity. Strikes me as a long time in that job. But that's the process we have in place now.
I'm not going to speak against it, but and I'm not even a member of the committee, so I want to voice uneasiness about both the timing of the notice, about less than a month before the term expires, but also because I believe the board has been derelict in its responsibilities by not evaluating the Inspector General since she's been Inspector General. We have not had a professional process that would give us a framework to be able to make this decision. And I think that reflects poorly on the board, and we have to reconfirm an annual process for evaluating the direct reports to the board. I find this unprofessional, not just for the Inspector General, but for all of the other direct reports, and that we, as a result, have no real framework for making this decision about reappointing her. But I'm not speaking against it, I'm speaking to what I think is a board board deficit.
I think there's unanimous agreement with you that we it's hard to believe we haven't had a process for evaluating these individuals in these very important positions, but we now have a process, and it's going to be an annual process using professional assistance in the performance evaluations. Jim?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, once again, I'm not a member of the committee either, but I concur with what Tom said, but I would also hope that we'd use this evaluation process as an opportunity to also to discuss the role of the IG, because I think we need to have some discussion about what the IG ought to be doing and the sorts of things they ought to be looking into and the aggressiveness with which that office is handled. So I just wanted to note that, and hopefully that will be a part of the evaluation process going forward.
It is. Actually, one of the things we're going to look at with respect to the three direct reports that have not yet been through a performance evaluation process is their job descriptions and the roles they play and to whom they report and these various issues. It relates not only to the IG, but to the other two as well.
Mr. Sarles, Mr. Barnes, I'd just add to this, too, that this is the work of the board. While the Governance Committee is taking the lead, board members will have ample opportunities to weigh in on the job descriptions and the evaluation criteria and even a little bit on the process. So this is not just the committee. This is the work of the board, as I think is proper.
Any other comments with respect to the motion or questions? If not, the vote will occur on the motion. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Appears to be unanimous. The last item that we have for the committee today is an information item, strategic planning and regional transit systems plan update. And we are ready to go into that update. And who's going to lead us off? Neil, are you going to lead us off? Welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be back. Can you hear me? Yep. Can you hear me? So it's really good to be back here. And obviously, in the last few months, you all have done a lot of work. So the primary purpose of today's meeting is to get feedback to allow you all, now that you're together, to give feedback from the meetings you've had with the stakeholders that you've been meeting with. And to get some discussion going to see how that input, perhaps how that looks, how that reflects on the draft that you had done several months ago. Because basically the reason for the input was to see whether or not the way you were thinking a few months ago is the way the stakeholders are feeling, and so to get that discussion going. Secondly, what we're trying to do today is to give a brief outline of the regional transit system plan that Matt and his staff, under Rich's direction, have been working on, and to clarify how that fits in with the strategic plan that you're developing. And then finally, what we want to do is talk about schedule going forward, just to make sure we're all on a common agreement on what that schedule is and when. Does that sound like a decent set of objectives for today's meeting? Okay, so let's start out with the input from the stakeholder meetings. And Andrea put together in your staff work a brief summary of what she gleaned from the notes from all the meetings. She didn't attend all the meetings. She just took the minutes that you all developed and the people that were involved in the various meetings and tried to come out with some highlights, if you will, of what they are. But this is simply to spur your discussion. She noted, number one, that Metro is vital to the region and how important it was, which was a nice piece of feedback. And then secondly, that there's visible progress being made on fixing the system, the fix-it-now thrust. People are seeing that. They're feeling that. And third, the emphasis on customer service, not just about buses being on time, but it's how the driver treats the customer and vice versa that's so important. That came out. And then bringing Metro's costs under control. How, over a long term, do we set ourselves up for a sustainable funding package? And then finally, they really appreciated the fact that you came out to see them and planning. They'd like more of them and planning for the future, and they see a real role for Metro in this. So that was a quick summary of what Andrea said, but really now the time is for you all to talk about your meetings and what you took away from them. Who wants to lead us out here?
Mr. Chairman. I think we may have started with the first one in February. And the Virginia members visiting the stakeholders in Virginia. And we did it at the Virginia General while the assembly was in session and part of our Northern Virginia Transportation Commission meeting. And I think, and I would ask the other Virginia members if they would like to comment regarding some of this discussion that happened there. I think there was, we had questions regarding system performance and how we have managed. We shared the vision and the goal. And we also talked about what we thought were some of the priorities that had been identified. And I guess what we probably got the most questions on was performance issues. Questions were about performance. Questions were about funding. And I think being with the General Assembly members, it was an opportunity for people to have a greater discussion about what those pieces, those kinds of things were that were happening. I don't know if I have any others that we have there.
I think you captured that pretty well. If I could say anything about that meeting, it's that group is still looking for us to demonstrate competence. So I sort of view that as the ground floor that we have to get to before we can move into the, like, where should we go? People have to believe that we are delivering in a regular manner on the things that they think are important. And the questions were a little bit around those sorts of things. So my takeaway was that even within our MVTC commission, doing things more proactively. We do provide the dashboards and other things, but doing things more proactively at that meeting to make sure those folks are more aware of where we've been and how we're going and how successful we've been is going to be important to us getting to that next conversation, which is really where we want to go because we're convinced we're making good progress. But we did not get a lot of feedback on mission or vision or even the couple of high-level strategic goals. The questions were all still about operations. And just as a measure of kind of where a group is, that's what I took away from it.
I think also that the participation, and that may be a building block for us. I guess we had at least five or six members of the General Assembly.
Who popped in and out?
That popped in and out. Well, and that I think
that's part of the issue.
And I think in conversations while we were down there that day, there is a greater need for us as Metro to be engaged with the members on a more direct basis. They want to see us, and that might be a very good direction for us. That we need to be there. They want to see the CEO there. They want to see others. so that that might connect our state-local relationship much better in terms of what this regional organization does.
Just two or three points popped out to me, not just from talking to Virginia, but several of the stakeholders, because I had a chance to sit in on a number of the meetings. And three issues that popped out at me were customer service, in other words, making sure that the folks who have direct contact with our customers present a positive attitude and make people feel good about using the system. That's something that doesn't cost any money, but it certainly goes a long way to building a better perception of the system. Second had to do with addressing some of these issues related to the pension program, specifically the employee contributions as well as overtime being considered as part of the pension calculation. And the third was the funding issue as it relates to dedicated funding. And this especially came out during our discussion up on the Hill with respect to us moving aggressively to try to address that. And that's something that I think we can follow up on. In fact, I've had some discussion since then with some business folks about the fact that there really needs to be a sustained effort to address that on a regional basis. So how do we fund this system? How do we get a dedicated funding source for Metro? We're the only major transit system like this that doesn't have that kind of funding. And I think the time is ripe for us to aggressively go after that. So that's certainly, those are three points that I took from the range of discussions we've had.
Thanks, Bill. Let me second what Mr. Dyke said about the last point. Half-heartedly, I mentioned to my fellow board member, Mr. Dyke, that we should or could or might get into a conversation with the congressional delegation regarding stable, reliable funding. And sure enough, it came up, which I was surprised, quite frankly, Jim, that it dominated the conversation. Catherine was there, too. But one point that came loud and clear on that point was that the congressional delegation said, we have no control over that. You all have to figure that out. It's nice to know about it for the umpteenth time, but it's not in our court. We don't have control over that issue. And I wanted to second Jim's comment about moving forward on trying to resurrect not another Airlie House discussion, which I'm tired of going to Airlie House for this issue. I know, Jim. I know. It's a beautiful place. It's just that I've been to too many conferences along with my friend Tom Downs over there on this subject, but to try to resurrect a strategy to get that conversation going once again once we get through the budget process. So I want to make sure we have that, Neil, as a going forward agenda item amongst all the other ones that are up there too. But
yes. Mark? Yeah, I participated in sort of the three federal sessions, USDOT with basically Peter Rogoff and his staff. General Services Administration, we managed to hit Dan Tangerlini on his virtually his first day on the job. Fortunately, Dan has a good understanding of what goes on here, and the congressional session that Tom dealt with. Not surprisingly, in all three, a lot of the focus was on the day-to-day. These are people who either are our customers or represent our customers, and they want to see significant improvement in day-to-day service. I also got the sense that, for the most part, they won't be thinking about the long term unless we put it on the agenda, but they recognize the importance of that. On the whole, they are supportive. I thought particularly Federal Transit, Peter Rogoff, made the point that he's very happy that we're working with him on the use of federal money, but that the $150 million PREA program is a temporary program, 10 years, but that's still temporary in the long run. And he very strongly urged that we be thinking about what comes after that, because he recognizes it's been key to all we've achieved. And on all three fronts, I think there was an agreement, understanding that we are making progress and that reaching out and talking to these people is an important part of our future strategy.
Other
Just one aside, I should point out that those of us who were involved in the congressional session happened to be on the Hill at the same time that there was an effort made to support the arts, and we actually ran into Alec Baldwin on the Hill, and we were this close to asking him to do an ad for Metro that says, you can play video games on the Metro, all right?
In terms of thinking about that long term, I think one from the congressional piece was a very good part of, and that was that they really want to have more than justice come in every once in a while. They want a closer working relationship. And I think that gives us, I think, an opportunity to think about how we build that across all of those stakeholders. This was a first time out, and I think it will be a good one to build on. And lastly, I think, well, it's not a stakeholder, but I really do think it is a reflection. Roger Lewis's column last week was really, I think, where we are today. And it was really good to have that conversation in the media piece in terms of where we've had it here, because I think we really, he starts us on the conversation today, and I think it was a really good opportunity to have that.
In Maryland, we had a series of very good meetings. Kathy Porter and I met with the county executive of Montgomery County, Ike Leggett, and with the president of the county council, Roger Berliner. And I think the timing wasn't great because it was toward the heat of the legislative session in Annapolis, and they were facing cuts, and they were very concerned about the immediate budget issues, and sort of hard to get people to look 10 years into the future. But one issue that that seems to be coming out of a lot of these discussions is that if we are going to, as a region, be serious about our future and planning for it, we've got to make a lot of difficult decisions in the next couple of years. In the near term, about how we're going to face the future that's coming at us, and that's why I think that the comments that some of our colleagues have made about the role of this board in helping the region to understand what the needs will be, what the needs already are, but what the increased needs will be, is very, very important. And certainly, I think I know we would have the support of a lot of elected officials like Mr. Leggett and Mr. Berliner, if we were to step out and try to play that role to some degree for the region.
Yeah, just from reading the notes and listening to you, it sounds like the whole process of going out and reaching out and asking has just worked beautifully. It's not WMATA coming out and telling them, and they've actually. It sounds like they've really realize the value of the institution that you have here as a region, and really the only institution that really works on a regional basis. So, you know, not unintended consequence, but it really sounds like it really has worked well so far. Tom?
Our meeting with the mayor and the council, Council Member Bowser and I think Tom Bolger and Tony Giancola were all there. The clear message back was, customer service counts. Elevators, escalators, dependability, reliability, professional service, et cetera. Clear message. Core costs are not sustainable over the long term as a jurisdiction subsidy increase at the rates that they have been increasing on an annual basis, and that both a longer-term solution that includes a stable and reliable funding source, but also a dedicated focus at the board level and at the management level on cost-effectiveness, efficiency. We simply cannot sustain the kinds of growth in pass-along cost. There was a reminder from one member of the council that the council had entertained legislation creating the district's portion of a stable and reliable funding source for WMATA, contingent on like legislation being passed in Maryland and Virginia. Neither jurisdiction has actually had a submission of any sort about a stable and reliable funding source for the authority. And I agree with Mr. Bolger that at some point in the process, we have to have a very high-level executive conversation about what is doable and what is not doable. Without that conversation, it is impossible to make plans about 2040. We can't get there without it.
Neil, if I could offer just another thing. The RAC really had a different kind of conversation than most of the other groups did. I mean, these are our committed, dedicated, Metro is our lifeline kind of folks. And they really focused on the words that we had put out in both the mission and the vision with some what I think were really pointed and good refinements for our consideration. So I don't, you know, that was part of our reason for going out, too, was how did people respond to those words beyond the credibility and the funding issues. So I really want to commend, you know, taking a look at those words that came from the RAC, because I think they're on the right track, and I think they absolutely agree that we should be the leaders in transit planning, but they're also very sensitive to the fact that many of them ride other systems every single day as part of their regular back and forth. And so they want our mission and vision to reflect the leadership without saying everything has to happen on Metro. That was one that really came through to me. It impacts the mission and vision most especially. They had some other really good suggestions around the strategic goals, but it was a very lively conversation. It could have gone on longer, except for they had another agenda item, but they really gave us some incredibly good feedback.
Yeah, I don't think we want to get into wordsmithing today, but this is what you had out there.
Yep.
And based upon the discussions and the feedback you're giving now, we obviously want to go back and revisit this, right? That's your point?
That is my point, yes.
Artis, what about Prince George's County?
Yes, Alvin and I met with, and we were joined by Jim Dyke, the regional, the regionalist. And actually, it was quite good. We were, I think, really pleased to have present the county executive, the chair of the county council, but we also had the chair of the zoning board, who's a former Metro member. So Betty certainly had quite a bit to share. But I would say overall there was a lot of excitement around the fact that we were staking out a role to look to the future, especially as it related to economic development. And certainly for Prince George's, that's a number one priority. Jim made reference to the issues around how we need to look at cost here, particularly around pension and other issues that most governments are working through. And obviously that was of quite a bit of interest to the elected officials in Prince George's, given the number of Prince Georgians who are employed at Metro. The concern about how we build out the system really dominated a lot of the conversation, because we have Marylanders in Southern Maryland who spend quite a bit of resource in Prince George's Metro resource, and the sense is that we need to expand, but we also need to figure out a way to engage greater Maryland that benefits from Metro as part of the conversation and solution for funding. But it was a very positive meeting, and the expectation is that the three will convene periodically, sometimes with Alvin and I, and other times just to keep things moving. So we found it very positive.
Muriel, do you want to add anything at this point?
I think that Tom really covered the issues from the district. I, too, thought it was a positive discussion with the mayor and the council, and I think our elected leadership is solidly behind making sure we're resourcing the authority in an appropriate way. It's very clear to us that Metro drives our economy and is going to help us to the future that we want for our city and for the whole region. I think what another important fact to note is that in the district, we're making some decisions about transportation that include Metro and some that don't, specifically around streetcar and our circulator bus. So this notion of competing transportation systems and funding for our taxpayers is front and center for us. So I think that we remain committed to finding a dedicated funding source for Metro, but there's also a parallel conversation beginning about dedicated funding for our other transportation needs and preferences. So I think that's important, and it feeds also into this question about how sustainable our how efficient are Metro operations, and how can we make them more efficient, because there will be continuing demands from all of the funding agencies, I think, that we are competitive, because there are other systems out there who might be more competitive. So it's important that we keep an eye on that.
Boy, some great themes are coming out. I mean, it really is impressive to listen to this. Let me ask you this. I was speaking with Kathy, the chairperson, earlier about have we covered our stakeholder meetings at this point, or do we still have any more to go? Kathy, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
I know that there may be a few holes. The general manager, CEO, and I met with the governors and the mayor in the early stages of as we started this process, but it was not focused on the strategic piece specifically. And I think the opportunity for us to return to that might be one way to kind of close this loop. I know other members have been maybe with the Federal City Council, but there's a new director, and I think that's an opportunity to go back to make sure that that's there. And I think that just about covers
two cities.
So those are the two major.
The two cities in Virginia.
Yeah, we just the fair elections city. Coming, and so we have
the Fairfax City
and Falls Church City. Falls Church. Both have elections this spring, and so
those are small piece participants, but very small participants. We've not covered those. I think that's about all of it. I think that's all of it. Oh, that's right. The Board of Trade, you're right, and I think there have been meetings with individuals with the Board of Trade, but the opportunity to really to get a representative group of the board members and the Board of Trade members together, and I think they have a desire, and I'll be making contact in that to make sure that we can get to that one. Yeah.
Mark? It's one thing I would bring back from a couple of sessions. People are very happy to see our smiling faces. They also would welcome seeing the CEO as well to kind of nail down what the
emphasis on smiling.
Very, very strong view from quite a few of them on that.
I was just wondering whether it makes any sense for us, and I'll defer to the chair, to have a meeting with the Secretaries of Transportation for Maryland, Virginia, and I know we meet with our DDOT director, Mr. Bellamy, all the time, both Tom and Muriel and I, and he's sometimes he's here. I don't know if he's here today, but it's not COG. Okay, thanks, Steve, but particularly Virginia and Maryland, I think that might be something we want to consider.
That was on our list in one of the discussions of returning through that loop. When we met with the mayor, we had all of those folks there then. And the question is, would they include them then or separate them from that last meeting? But they were present when we were with the mayor and the two governors.
Those three individuals are key to the external governance study and also the talk. So we need at some point to do that. I'm going to be on a panel, actually moderating a panel with the three of them in a couple of weeks. So certainly make sure they're thinking about this. Yeah. At least plan it. Yeah.
Any other feedback before we move on to the next item on the agenda? Obviously, everybody feels it's a good process so far. Right. Okay. The next thing we want to turn to is clarifying the relationship between the strategic plan that we're just talking about and what we're about to talk about, and Ed's about to talk about, the regional transit system plan. And essentially, this chart is designed to help everybody understand how these all fit together, because sometimes it gets confusing. If you recall, the overriding thing that we're, that you all agreed to basically in the fall was that we want to take the region's vision for the future as our guide, if you will, and that's region forward. And then within that long-term framework, Matt's going to talk about, well, if you look beyond 10 years, you look down 30 years, what are the various options to consider to provide a further framework for you for developing your strategic plan, which normally run about 10 years. So, and then within that, then the things that Tom and others on the board have focused on, multi-year business plans, budgets, et cetera, within that framework. Does this make sense before we get that on the table, Mark?
I think it makes sense to think about them in this context. I think it's very important that we do that. I don't want to walk away from here with leaving the impression that we've now buttoned everything up and are thinking about colored lines on the maps for 40 years from now. The way that chart is set up is correct. The strategic plan is the fundamental foundation for even being able to think about that long-term future. So I want to be sure we've got both of these in proper relationship, proper context.
Yes, sir.
In our briefing the other day at City Hall with Muriel, this came up, and I just had a general question that I needed an answer. Maybe Nat can answer it. Does this fit into the moving forward? Is this our addition to moving forward?
Region
forward, sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically sets objectives, and what Matt's going to get into now is if we wanted to achieve those objectives, what options do we have? Is that fair, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's also important in terms of context. We're not the only player in making those things happen, so it shouldn't be perceived that this is now Metro preemptive discussion of what the region's transportation needs are, but rather a beginning of a dialogue that will have to include lots of others.
All right, so I just wanted to give a brief introduction. I'm going to ask Tom Harrington, who's the director of the Office of Long Range Planning, to give the bulk of the presentation, but I just wanted to make a couple of points about, again, why we're having this conversation at this time. The first is that it's been about a year since we talked to the board at all about this, and I think maybe 2 years since we presented it, in a board meeting. We wanted to, there's been a lot of change in the board membership composition since that time, and we wanted to make sure everyone was on the same page as we start coming back with the choices that were just alluded to that we think Metro and the region face for how to implement the region forward vision. So we want to update you so everyone's on the same page. We want to present and describe the four principal scenarios that we're evaluating, and then we'll come back to you later this year with a quantitative analysis of the performance of. And Tom will describe what each one of those are. And we won't get into the quantitative their quantitative impacts today, but we'll be teeing them up for you so that when we come back later on, you all will be familiar with the scenarios, and we can dive into how they perform. So we're not really talking about what the scenarios are and their performance at the same time, because that would be a lot. And then the last reason that we're here is we want to talk about what we want to do with the information we develop. Obviously, we want to share it with you, but we also want to use this as the basis for continuing education of our key stakeholders and the public, possibly a subject of future conversations and return visits to the stakeholders, and also the solicitation of their input and public input. So with that, I'll just turn it over to Tom, and he can make that very first point that I think refers to Mr. Downs's concern about it being operator neutral and involving everyone.
Okay, good morning. Yeah, the regional transit system plan has been underway for a couple of years, and we reached a point where we'd done a lot of technical work. The board began the strategic planning process, and we saw that actually this is an opportunity to take it to sort of the next phase, which is future scenarios and really policy context. It's long range. It's a 30-year vision. It's multimodal, so we're not just talking about Metrorail, Metrobus, but really all transit modes. And operator neutral, both, you know, in terms of who might operate it, but also who might build it. So it's really looking at the full transit network and from the vantage point of the customer, which is we want a seamless experience. Regardless of who the operator is, we want to look at how transit passengers will move around the region. And then it's an infrastructure plan for those projects that have long development, so it's long range and it's particularly focused on major capital projects that we're talking about. Okay, next. A point we were just talking about was that, in effect, we're trying to create a transit vision, a transit network that gets us to Region Forward. So while Region Forward spells out a quality of life vision for the region, this would be the transit components that will get us there, and that's what we're evaluating. We actually started the process with a particular focus on core capacity. You know, looking at some of the trends we were seeing in 2007 and 2008, we saw a crisis coming sooner. The recession maybe has pushed that out a few years, but we know core capacity is a major driving issue and one of the reasons that we wanted to look at the region's long-range transit future. It takes a long time to develop these projects, and so knowing that if we were going to have severe capacity problems a few years out, you know, now's the time to come together on a consensus for what the strategies and the portfolio projects is that will get us there. And that really requires, yeah, we think about the future vision now so we can start to work toward funding and implementation. The last part is that we've done this in the context working with our jurisdictional partners from the beginning because now more than ever, for Metro to move forward, to build an expanded transit network, it has to be through partnering, both for funding, but also because a lot of the solutions we're talking about will involve surface transit and that involves roadways that we don't operate or own. And so in order for this to be a multimodal network, we need to work together.
So, Mr. Chairman, can we raise a question now, or do you want to wait till the whole presentation? Yeah. I'm a little concerned, if we could go back, that this slide sort of implies we've made up our mind. You know, as you go further, there are scenarios, there are options to deal with it. I don't think we should go in with the assumption that within the next 5 years we should be going forward with planned expansions. That should be an outcome as we look at it. Maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 20 years, maybe it's never. But this shouldn't be, in my view, a preordained outcome of the discussion.
I guess maybe I'll make the point. It does not say a preferred metro system expansion strategy. It says a preferred expansion strategy. And, in fact, two of the scenarios that we are evaluating really do contrast investment in the core of the metro system versus surface transit as alternative approaches for meeting the region's transit needs.
Measured against what the region wants to achieve in terms of
moving
forward.
Okay. Okay, this slide on the left lists the board's strategic goals that we've talked about as part of the context of the strategic plan. On the right, and these are long-term, but they could be short-term too in terms of where you're setting priorities. In the right, we're talking about specifically those evaluation factors we're using to evaluate the long-range transit network. And as you'll see, it's consistent, but in some cases we've gone a little bit more detailed. So we have particular evaluation factors of enhancing environmental quality, facilitating transit-oriented development, maximizing our access to transit choices, providing high-quality transit that basically can encourage ridership growth, and then providing you know, financially viable transit system. So these are the sort of an evaluation matrix we developed in the appendix. There's more detail if you want to take a look at that. But that's how we're going to be evaluating scenarios as we move forward.
Yes. On the last one back, financially viable, are we doing a financial analysis at some point in this process, which is called for under federal planning requirements so that we're not making up revenue that you know, that will never appear in the future? And secondly, are we going to have an environmental impact statement on this document?
Well, in terms of the process, I think those things all will come later as we move forward. But where we are now, actually our very first phase, we sort of put costs aside for a moment. We said, what does the region need in terms of transit, not thinking about cost, to get to region forward? In this phase, what we are going to do, though, is bring in some cost measures, such as cost effectiveness, on a pretty high level, just to say, you know, if you had a strategy that was more surface transit versus one that was more metrorail focused, how do they do in terms of cost effectiveness? I think then, if we have consensus around either a network or a set of projects, then, you know, developing a more detailed financial plan, moving into, in some cases, alternatives analysis and corridors, and then moving into the NEPA process would all be next phases once we get some consensus around direction.
Okay.
So, as I mentioned, we had done a fair amount of technical work, so I'll just give you a quick overview of some of the findings that we had from our earlier analysis, and this is all stuff that we've shared with our technical advisory group. But first, we looked at a base case of 2040, and this is basically, you know, MWCOG's constrained long-range plan network, you know, with a few minor changes in terms of metro operations, but basically, that's the CLRP network that we're talking about. And we looked at growth, and you know, these are not new numbers to you all. You've probably seen them before. The region's still growing. Regional transit trips expected to grow by over 30% between now and 2040. What does that mean for us? Well, first, we did, again, you know, indicate there's a core capacity problem, and the problems tend to be on river crossings was where we were finding. Again, these are our existing bottlenecks. That's where we feel the crowding the worst. But perhaps more interesting was how travel demand in the future is changing and what that will mean. So our traditional market, you know, trips to the core during peak periods, our commuting trips, is actually the market that's growing the slowest. So that over that time period where all trips are growing 30%, trips to the core are growing 12%. The trips that are growing faster, you know, on average, are, of course, first, suburban and suburban. So that's growing 45% in that same time period. And those are the trips that, you know, traditionally have been hardest for us to serve. Certainly that will help dictate maybe some of the options that we should be looking at. Also, though, a fair amount of growth in reverse commuting and trips to the central jurisdiction, so people that work in Arlington and in, you know, the outer part of District of Columbia, in the suburban counties, but maybe they're coming from even further out and going to those suburban job locations. That's another area where we see a lot of growth. We'll also see demand grow for circulation within the central jurisdictions. So those are the types of challenges that we face that are maybe a little different from our traditional getting the workforce to downtown Washington.
Question on the second bullet. Clearly, we're looking ahead to 2040, but, you know, we're witnessing overcrowding. I guess the operative word there is most severe, but we're certainly witnessing crowding right now at Gallery Place, as an example, and some other locations. So I guess as we proceed with the actual planning for projects, you know, short term, I think obviously we'd want to see some projects generated to help the overcrowding at, for instance, a station like Gallery Place and other locations. So, you know, it's not just the long term. There's a whole transition in an interim period, which you did address earlier about short-term plans. But I don't want to lose sight of the fact that we've got some short-term and existing issues to resolve, not just the 2040 scenario.
Just if I could make a comment here, the chair of the planning committee and I have talked about that issue, and that is going to be on our agenda to kind of step that up and focus on that fairly quickly, because I know the staff is very interested in that, and I think there's some things we can do to move aggressively on that. And I should also note that that was an issue that came up during our meeting with the congressional delegation as well, specifically overcrowding on the platforms, and that we needed to address that quickly.
And in the issue, this is at a high level, regional level. Some of our specific station capacity problems, like Gallery Place, Union Station, we've found that we really need to dive deep with detailed micro-simulation. The board's seen some of that with Union Station, And we're doing those projects on, you know, right now in terms of, and we'll bring that result back as well, kind of in parallel to the sort of the high level look that we're.
Yeah, I remember a year or so ago we had that scenario of the Union Station and showing us how it was crowding based on that little model you had or whatever it was called. And that would be useful as well in some of those other stations from a visual point of view to show folks and everyone how important it is to.
We've used that tool and we're using those tools to gallery place them on the right now. We haven't got to the conclusions of those, but they're in process.
I just want to check circulation within central districts. I'm assuming that's looking at the circulator bus, for instance, or at Arlington's ART. Is that part of what you all are taking into account, or is this only at this point Metro run service?
No, it's all transit services are in the network that we're looking at.
Okay.
And specifically what we're saying is the growth in demand is particularly striking, that there's a lot of district-to-district trips, Arlington-to-Arlington trips, Alexandria-to-Alexandria, even, and, you know. So those are the trips.
And they're not necessarily commute period trips as well. I mean, they're. All of the trip making. I mean, commute trips are 20% of all trips, but within the transit served core, there's a lot more trip making that's done by transit than by automobile. And so the point is just in this central part of the region, what are the transit needs for that? Some of it's regional high capacity, some of it's more neighborhood access, neighborhood to neighborhood kind of things.
As we think through the next set of things, Tom, that you're going to do around the funding. And I'm thinking about my jurisdiction or about somebody looking at this who's already paying subsidy and is being, you know, teased or encouraged to kind of think about how do you step up. There's a set of regional step-ups, and then there's the local step-ups. And to the extent that we are clear about what those choices are for jurisdictions, I think that's also going to be important to understand where we think the pressure is going to be moving forward for transit. Because in my jurisdiction, that's a conversation every year: is are we going to expand ART? Are we going to how much more do we need to put in Metro? What does that leave to expand ART? You know, who are we serving and how? So I think it's a we have the opportunity to tee that up in a way that would be helpful to everybody.
I think first it's important to differentiate between forecasting individual station breakdown about ridership trends at some point and eight-car trains at two-hour headways that crush load. The limits on that system are at the station, but the inability to safely offload or load customers, and it's pretty easy to forecast where that would be, both in terms of the location, the station locations, and the point in time that that occurs, so that there is at least a way of making specific in this time frame, this 20-year time frame, or 30-year time frame, where the potential breakdowns are. The other is that I don't want to oversimplify the simplicity of the problem. On the Maryland side, there are six lines that come into the core. On the Virginia side, there are two that cross the river. The growth rate in Virginia is forecast to be higher than the growth rate in both Maryland and Virginia. It is possible to forecast the breakdown rate or the breakdown point at which Metro Rail can no longer service growth in Northern Virginia on a rail line in the next 30 years or so, 20 years, probably.
I think we're already there.
I think we're getting there. And to have that be part of this is a more specific framework for making problems visible to force decisions about investment, doing it in a timely fashion. Some projects take decades to get through the design, environmental, construction process. And if we don't have that framed in the long-range strategic plan as threats to the system, then we're missing our primary obligation here about planning. That is, we can see this coming. We just need to name it, and we need to point to a specific point in time when we think that will happen. Because I guarantee you, it will happen specifically on the Virginia crossings about the limited capacity of those two lines.
Got a question, too. Have we incorporated VRE and MARC and kind of their capacity issues as well as their forecasted needs as part of this? So there are also capacity issues on VRE, especially as it comes into the core, but they also perhaps offer a complement to our service. So is that incorporated in the stats here, but also in the thinking in your process?
I'll talk about that in the first scenario. It is incorporated.
Yeah. And also, in this slide, we have an array of things we looked at, and under new connections, we definitely went and looked at the commuter rail plans and looked at both extensions, but even the proposal to have some interline or whatever, through the core of the city in terms of MARC trains coming all the way into Virginia, Virginia trains going further north. So we've looked at that as an option as well.
And I was thinking of before you moved to this current slide, that really this is to me a planning process or looking forward, but recognizing that there are the other partners, as was noted here with the others, but most importantly, those local systems as to how they're going to define their new definition of how you connect those communities versus how we've seen them today. And I think it goes to Tom's point of where are the pressures in terms of coming into the core. Well, some of those are going to be redefined of not coming into the core in order to serve it, but how might the local planning folks start embracing the same idea that it's not – Metro may still be the main infrastructure piece, but within those communities, many others will have to, I think – consider the planning of new communities, how those communities grow out, and what are going to be the infrastructure connections there, not relying solely on Metro, but defining the rest of those pieces there.
All right. Just to explain this table, when we started out, we sort of grouped our issues into four main categories. So core capacity, of course, being a key issue. And then we've sort of outlined a variety of strategies. So on core capacity, we looked at a whole range of things, including, new metro rail lines through the core, maybe more modest improvements, which would be interlining new connections between existing lines to make them work better, but also enhanced bus priority corridors and surface transit improvements that potentially could help with core capacity as well. Access. Is how do we get people to the system? And that's an issue we've recognized early on, which is we can add all this capacity to the center of the region, but if we're not expanding parking, if there's limited development that can happen around existing stations, how are the riders going to get to the system? And so we're looking at infill stations and pedestrian connections as one strategy, improving the pedestrian networks around existing station areas, but also looking at alternatives for park and ride that could mean sort of satellite parking with shuttle services and in some ways extending lines as another way of getting more people to the system. On surface transit, this includes bus options, commuter rail options, bus rapid transit, light rail, streetcar. And then new connections is really focusing on the region's activity centers and how do we make new connections between them, through a variety of modes.
And I would just say that these top level categories all link to points that people have been making around the table. The core capacity strategies touch on what Mr. Downs was talking about making sure that we're really looking at the capacity system and evaluating alternatives that relate to when we're going to run out of capacity, if we are, and how we're going to deal with that. And then to Mrs. Hudgens' points about incorporating new communities and providing transit access to them as well, we're also thinking beyond the existing reach of the network and thinking about, extensions of commuter rail, and then the surface network to pull more communities in the suburban parts of the region into the transit web, if you will.
Neil, I just want to ask a question here. In the new connection strategies, we use the word almost exclusively here of, well, we do, exclusively extensions. I can think of less with Metro Rail than with some of our other things, where enhancement, whether it's reducing headways, adding additional service on an existing line that takes an activity center from really not being very transit-friendly to a place that people can make work. And so I don't know if you want to add the word enhancement here as well as extension. To me, that's a little different than bus priority or other kinds of things. It's just taking new existing service.
Some of the alternatives that we'll discuss, which include separation of lines currently interline, would allow us to increase service without necessarily extending the system. So that is actually another one of the scenarios we're looking at.
Right. I just want to make sure we're not, because extension, I look at this and I think, well, this is 2040. But in fact, we could have activity here that would bring some activity centers into a more robust.
Well, and that is one of the strategic questions for the board and the region to think through, which is, are we going to extend the reach of the system or invest in the core of the system? What kind of regional transit network do we want? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are alternatives. Or things that could be combined as well.
You list extensions either by commuter or metro. There are national metrics that a lot of systems use to try to differentiate between what is appropriate for heavy rail extension and what is commuter territory. The reason that the New York City Transit Authority does not run to Connecticut is that it is totally cost ineffective. It is the highest cost per seat mile of any transit service that can be provided. There is a natural break in distance between commuter and heavy rail. It's economic, it's distance-based, it's population-based. We ought to have that as a framework about thinking about how we envision this 2040 environment. There are natural breakpoints that exist. To ignore them is like running through a stop sign from an economic and operational standpoint. And I think that's the only logical way to try and sort which mode fits.
Tom makes a good point. I want to make another point that if you go back a slide, please, under service transportation strategies, I'm assuming you factored in the express lanes on the Beltway in Virginia, the new ICC, toll road, and any other tolling facilities that the region may do, and I'm assuming that you factored in BRT on those facilities.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, that gets us a little bit of capacity, particularly on the Beltway.
That's where you get buses. I'm going to go through some of the initial findings a little quickly because I definitely want to get to the scenarios, I think, before we wrap up. So I think, and we've hit on a bunch of these points already. From the initial testing we've done with looking at rail, no single strategy is addressing core capacity issues. In part because we've got issues on multiple congestion points. There's no one strategy that sort of solves that. New lines, in terms of new metro rail lines, reduce transfers, and in some ways that can help with some of our station capacity issues. Interlining is a good strategy in terms of flexibility, but we're finding a little mix in terms of core capacity, and in part because of the way our system is designed. You may relieve one constraint at one point and you hit another constraint at another point. Another point I should make, just one sort of initial finding, was just how well designed the current system is. So I think that was just kind of a general theme that when we've looked at new lines, we really struggle to find new alignments that aren't already pretty well served. I mean, we have very good coverage in the core of the system already, and generally, we add a new line, it's just going to pull some existing riders off. It may serve people better, it gives us more capacity, but challenging in the current framework to really make huge time savings in the center of the region other than the capacity benefits. Extensions, that we have looked at strain capacity, core capacity. That's, you know, something certainly we expected to see, but then provide the access benefit in terms of how people get to the system. In looking at surface transit, it was encouraging that high-quality surface transit probably did the most in terms of coverage and actually having a lot of ridership benefits over the whole region. Certainly helped in terms of connecting more centers in terms of the network we've initially laid out. Streetcar and, you know, modest core relief, but really I think the objective with streetcar is that central circulation that we said is a growing area. So what we are finding with streetcar and light rail is in many cases is it doesn't relieve core capacity. Actually, in some cases, it could make it a little worse because what it's doing is a very good job of providing a feeder to Metro. It is providing circulation and does replace some trips in the core, but it could also bring more trips to the core, too. So kind of mixed in terms of the core benefits. The priority bus corridors actually in some ways also because of where they are located did a lot to actually help in terms of reducing some of the peak modest in terms of some of the peak loads, but also in terms of carrying riders. Okay. And then I think that was just kind of our initial look, testing these things separately. We're now entering a second phase of the study where we want to bundle them into scenarios. Here are the four initial scenarios that we're going to be looking at. The first is maximizing existing infrastructure and sort of building on what we have in terms of the system. And these are really more the enhancements as opposed to extensions. But things like interlining, improving the bus network, expanding the bus network, and sort of looking at what the results of those strategies are. The second scenario is taking surface transit one step further. There's no metro rail expansion in scenario two, but really looking at a substantial increase in surface transit, streetcar, light rail, and bus. What does that do? In the third scenario, it's kind of the flip side. The focus is on Metrorail core capacity with more modest improvements in surface transit. What does that do for us? And then in the fourth, we bring sort of both pieces together in terms of both the surface transit expansion and the core capacity expansion.
Question.
Yeah.
Is your thinking at this point that these are mutually exclusive, at least for analytical purposes? I mean, it's useful to say, what's the best we can do with surface? What's the best we could do with core capacity? Eventually, we may want to say, let's take some from column A, some from column B in an optimal plan. So none of these are the real outcome.
Right. I think this is to give insight into a debate that's been, you know, that takes place, I think, continually around the region, which is the question of, you know, can we afford heavy rail investment? Is it too expensive? And, you know, is the only form of transit expansion that we can really afford surface transit? Or is that, you know, but if we restrict ourselves to surface transit, is that going to leave some key challenges unmet? So really it's about seeing whether a lower cost or more affordable cost system is going to get us what we need. And do we need to think about, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Very high cost one.
Correct. And so we want to juxtapose those two from a performance point of view.
I'd love more recognition of the fact that there are 15 transit providers in the region. We're one of 15. And the challenge about integrating this into that reality is significant. It's a scenario, I think, that has to be addressed. We can't change it. One of the things that Metro has done that I think has been incredibly powerful is establish transparency about utilization of the regional provider network through Smart Trip, uniform, fair payment mechanisms, beginnings of uniform regional line information about where you connect with various other providers, networks. In other words, expand transit system-wide, how much can we change mode share and vehicle miles traveled per capita? One of the things that is an important investment there that is unacknowledged is the technology side that the region needs to be able to act like a single region from a customer standpoint on bus and rail and commuter, uniform fare media, uniform information, easily accessible about all of the travel opportunities and their interfaces. There's nothing here that gives us a challenge about having a system that actually works like a system for the regional customers and the new people entering the system. We talk about physical capacity. We're not talking about the technological and information capacities here that help customers see this as a region rather than 15 individual service providers.
It is, but we're also looking at those issues in a lot more detail in the surface transit interoperability study that we want to come back to you with. We've also been working with all of the project sponsors around the region and trying to evaluate what's the greatest degree of, just exactly what you're talking about, technological interoperability, fare, communications, passenger information, interoperability among all of those. So there is a common system and customer experience.
One of the things that's come out of the discussion over the last 9 months is everybody here has, including you just talked about it, this is all operator neutral, right?
Yeah, right.
So, that's key. That's built in. It's not good enough to be operator neutral and proactive about what the customer needs, right? The customer focus forward. And if this is a strategic plan, it has to be able to articulate that besides the physical capacity stuff.
But I
hope the point that our engagement and outreach to those local and providers in a strategic way, that is not coming in after we've all done our plans or vice versa, but that we really can then start talking about the roles each of those play in the making of that decision, because I think that is really, I think, the key of marrying the Region 4 at PSN, as well as the work that we're doing, that it's really, as we get started, we have to also make sure that they're included and base the assumptions on somewhat the base, same.
Not just being, but that's not just being provider neutral. That's being a provider proactive.
That's exactly.
That's acknowledging a leadership role that is inclusive in the region. I think it took 2.5 years to get to a uniform fare medium with the bus properties in the region through negotiations. But I think that we're the only regional entity that can bring the tent together and provide suggestions about technology and the framework for doing it. But it is a collaborative and cooperative process.
If I could make one other observation, as we dive now, the next stage will be diving into these scenarios and taking them and sharing them with other people and getting their reactions as we get more data. It strikes me that there may be, that we may need to package this with some sort of givens. And one given is, excellent customer service, that people, we shouldn't have a conversation about do we intend to keep doing that or not. This is where we see this moving forward. It has to be customer focused. The other one is this point that Tom's made, and maybe is a piece of customer service, but it is our vision is fair media that works regardless of who you're on, what you're taking. And that we see that as critical to success of a regional system. There may be one or two other things that are just, that we just, again, in this mode of needing to restore confidence and have people acknowledge competence, that we need to keep saying these things even as we delve into the nitty-gritty of the high level, the funding of some of these solutions. no matter what, this is sort of like our baseline. And I think there's a way in our structure to do that, but as we keep talking about this, I think if we're not explicit at the front end that this is part of how we plan to go about it, we won't get the right conversation on the scenarios. People will be stuck in that other stuff. And so, you know, as I say, there's probably more than those two. Those two strike me very much today. Yes, right. Yeah, ease of access, that technology piece that Tom was talking about.
It's not a criticism. It's just that planners tend to talk in plannese. And as you refine this process, I'd encourage you to use, like, Barbara's capacity to help make things understandable to stakeholders who would find some of the language a bit confusing or doesn't resonate as well, to make this a populist document as well as that kind of formal planning document. There's a lot of meat here, and it's really important to have a lot of stakeholders engaged, which means that it's got to have some sizzle and pop, and it's got to be very plain. And pictures. And it's got to be in plain
a customer-centric plan that really customers could understand is, okay, critical.
Okay, the last item.
We lost this one.
And this is the strategic plan as separate from the systems plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Is that so, Mary?
Maybe you can just remind me where we are getting feedback from our employees, because that was a part of this, too, on the goals and the mission and vision thing.
Yeah, what we're going to do with that is we've been asking employees questions, not specifically in the strategic plan kind of framework, but about other things. So we're going to take a look at what we've learned already from employees. And then when we have some more specific things for them to react to, rather than just having kind of general conversations, which we think we've gotten a lot of good input from them already. So that's how we're going to approach it. But, yes, definitely we understand the importance of the employee input.
Yeah, I'm really interested in us getting particularly the mission and vision right relative to them.
And we also had
Mary's raised the question that's sort of been a reoccurring one for me. Where are the employees and how we use this process to actually fuel the transformation? Because at the end of the day, they will deliver on our vision, a big part of delivering on the vision.
We also had a town hall forum I did with employees, which we then broadcast to all employees, which explored a variety of issues. Some of it was budget, some of it was where we're going, some of it was safety, but allowed employees to ask questions and get feedback from me. And we'll continue that as we go along in this development process.
Is that on the website if we wanted to take a look at it?
It's on the internal website.
Internal, we don't have it. Yeah, maybe you could figure out how we could get access.
Certainly can make it available to you.
Any other thoughts and comments about the schedule and the next steps?
It sounds to me, based on this discussion, and I'll be interested in whether I'm hearing the discussion correctly. I hope I am, actually. That we're talking about a strategic plan for transit for the region more than we're talking about just a strategic plan for WMATA. I hope I'm hearing this correctly because I think that's what's needed by the region. And I think we are probably better positioned than anybody else
to come up with that strategic plan for transit for the region.
Let me just.
But I'm not sure that I'm correct in my interpretation.
Let me give you my view, that we are developing a strategic plan for Washington Metro. And part of that will be our role in the region. But as we, what we're doing here is looking at the entire region and the entire transportation needs of the region, how working with others, where we see that headed. But then I think as an organization, we have to have a strategic plan for how we play a role in that. So we're not going to be running all of it, and that's something the board has to decide. So it's sort of, yes, we look at the whole region, as was said before, operate in neutral, but then we have to look at in our strategic plan, Washington Metro's role in that overall.
I think we're kind of reaching this place where we have to ask ourselves, when we think we have an idea here of what the shape of this is, how are we going to interact with, say, TPB and the Commonwealth Transportation Board and some of the regional planning entities that already exist? And how do we share what we've found and what we've learned and how we think we're going to move this forward? And, you know, I've been going back and forth in my mind about whether that comes before we adopt a strategic plan or after, and I've kind of landed at I think it has to happen before. And so when I look at the stakeholder forum public outreach placeholder that we have in the fall, we do all keep coming back to this summit idea in our conversation, which is a very different thing than a stakeholder forum, in my view. It really is bringing key decision makers, key planners together, and laying it all out on the table and saying, here's what we see, and we're trying to make strategic decisions that support Region Forward. What are, you know, it's, so I'm feeling like the fall thing has to be different than what we've been doing. We need everybody in the same room now, or soon. That's my view, but I just, I don't know what other people think.
But not at Airwood.
Well, we don't have to. I think we have to find a great location in the district that's right in the middle and everybody can come to.
I think I'm agreeing with Mary, and let me walk my way through it, because I look at that timetable that we're working in, and I think that there is a benefit to having a conversion of that versus to say A and then B, because I think when we want to talk to our stakeholders who are, and that's why we talked about naming the local planners and all of those folks that are engaged in this, that we've taken their discussion and informed our strategic plan. And to me, I don't see the fall discussion necessarily omitting that opportunity, because I think it's how strong can we have a discussion at that time frame? Can we accomplish that? To me, that's what the question, not just who will be at the table. Are we ready in all of where we have gone in order to now go out with everybody else and say, okay, as regional partners, where are we going and how are we going to define getting there? And I still see Metro being the convener and hopefully defining the clear role that we would be, that we'd arrived at in this strategic process in order to get there with anybody else.
Yeah, I would second Mary's conclusion, but also I think what the general manager said is right as to what we're doing now. We need to focus on what we're going to do and how we're going to play a role. But I think we need to get to where Mike alluded to, because somebody has to take the leadership role in this, and we can't sit back and wait for somebody else to do that. And I think we go into that forum with our plan driving the process, getting input from others, and in fact, not even waiting till the fall to get some of that as we develop these ideas. I think we ought to be moving quickly on that, because somebody has to take the lead on this. Otherwise, it's just going to flounder around out there. So yeah, but somebody else will come in. And so if we're going to have this discussion, I just assume have us driving it as opposed to somebody else. So I'd say let's move full speed ahead.
Yeah, I want to caution a little bit. I'll go back to a comment I made at the beginning. There is a difference between a strategic plan for transforming this institution and the services it provides and its effectiveness and all of the things that make us the foundation for the region. I don't want to lose that as we move on to big, exciting 40-year visions. I think we should have, in terms of time frame, a time frame for both, an understanding of when the public will be involved in both. But I think they are of equal importance, and I would not like to sacrifice one by saying, well, now we've moved on. Well, we got this place fixed. We're now going to fix the region. We've got a lot of work to do. We want to have business plans. We want to have solid budgets. We want to have goals for operating the organization. That's the Metro strategic plan. That's not the grand vision for the region. We have to have both.
Guys.
Thank you. Is there any other business to come before the committee? If not, the committee will stand adjourned.